We indeed have come today to hear the word of the Lord preached to us. And I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity and that we have the Lord's Spirit to direct our understanding and to direct the thoughts and words of our preacher. And so I would ask that you would welcome our brother Trevor Ratt with your prayers and with your smiles.
Good morning, all. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah. The ninth chapter. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The things that the Lord delights in. It's amazing how simple the gospel is. Let's start, and I'm going to start with, do you know him first? Seems simple enough. How do you know him? Does he speak to you? Does he give you dreams? Does he take away your fears? How do you know him? The example is, how well do you know me? My wife knows me pretty well. Probably better than any of you people know me. She understands and sees my weaknesses, my insufficiencies. But my God knows me even better than that. The things that make me what I am today, God also knows. But it's about a relationship. Should it be one-sided? I don't think so. If it is, it doesn't last. How well do I know my God? What is it that he delights in? How can I please him? What is it that he expects out of me? Where I should go? Who I should talk to? To him, whether I'm worth anything at all. Let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Redeeming relationships. The word relationship isn't in the Bible or the Book of Mormon. But we really need to know him. Let's go to Luke 18. The 9th verse through the 14th. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Didn't say he was saved, it just knew that he had a problem. He knew that he had to do something about the way that he was. And the first part of realizing that you have a problem is recognizing it. The Pharisee, he didn't think he had a problem. He was obedient. He thought that he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, because the Lord had blessed him. He told him, he said, well, Lord, you've helped me prosper in this land. I'll be obedient. Back to that 12th chapter of Luke. Fifteenth verse. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. I look in our lives and I see idolatry. Even in my own. Let's go back to that Jeremiah, right? Because I want to piece that apart, that 9th chapter. So we have to know him. I've got a lot to go through and not much time, so I'm going to try and get through this somewhat quickly. So we've covered knowing him. The Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He delighteth in these things. I'm going to go to judgment first. And we know that judgment is coming upon us. For God is consistent. Let's go to, in the Book of Mormon, page 567. Helaman. And seeing the people, in the third verse, and seeing the people in a state of such awful wickedness. And we could change some of these words around, but I think it kind of matches our day today. Of such awful wickedness, and those Gadianton robbers filling the judgment seats, having usurped the power and authority of the land, laying aside the commandments of God, and not in the least aright before him, doing no justice unto the children of men, condemning the righteous before because of their righteousness, letting the guilty and the wicked go unpunished because of their money. And moreover, to be held in office at the head of government, to rule and do according to their wills, that they might get gain and glory of the world, and moreover, that they might the more easily commit adultery and steal and kill and do according to their own wills. Now this great iniquity had come upon the Nephites in the space of not many years. And when Nephi saw it, his heart was swollen with sorrow within his breast. I feel the same way. I love this country. This country has been really good to me. And what you have is something very special that the Lord has preserved. You think God isn't consistent? And I believe that this is a mirror image of what we have today. And judgment was coming to these people. Let's go over to the 25th verse. Go over like two pages. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will not show unto the wicked of my strength to one more than the other, save it be unto those who repent of their sins and hearken unto my words. Now therefore I would that ye should behold, my brethren, that it shall be better for the Lamanites than for you, except ye shall repent. For behold, they are more righteous than you, for they have not sinned against that great knowledge which ye have received. Even in our church, we justify our actions and say that we're different. This doesn't apply to us, but it does. First Peter. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Fourth chapter. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? We know all these things, yet we do them not. And we practice idolatry. We have a piece of ground out here. And you know, when I belong to that other church, you know, they'd all say, It was the Holy Grail for them. One day we're going to have that piece of ground. You know, how much is a soul worth to our Lord? Is it worth more than that piece of ground? You see, they gauge their success by the things that they have. I'm more right than you because I have this. It's not that we are the Lord's servants and that we're following exactly the way that He wants it done. Do we not have sin in the church? Do we not have iniquity? You can say that all day long that you are the church, but unless your actions speak louder and prove to our God that it is true what you believe, and you do it His way, it doesn't matter. Humility, all those things come into play. I ask you what you believe. You know, compared to the rest of the Christian world, our numbers aren't much different. When I came back to this part of the country, I came back with a different church. I came back to serve my God. And found that they weren't what they said they were. Well, we've always done it that way. You'd hear excuse after excuse. Well, that's not really that important. And I put the question to you. Are we what we say we are? I know I'm being hard on you guys, but I want you to change. I want you to look at things differently. I want to have that relationship with Christ. I want you to repent. Because I fear for you. I also fear for my family and myself. But I know that how judgment is, because my God is consistent. And I consider you and your families, as I hope that you consider mine. Matthew the 7th chapter. First verse through the 5th. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye shall meter, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. Brothers and sisters, you think that I don't look at myself and see how unworthy I truly am. And we are judged the way that we judge others. I don't walk up to someone and say, hey, man, that's really bad. How can I help you? How can my Lord help you? You know, I see people in our church that have the same opinion of people that when they made a mistake 20, 30 years ago. You know, you guys wouldn't have liked me 20, 30 years ago. Not the same person. But I understand that God had mercy on me. And little bit by little bit, I mean, I was rough. He sanded on me. He ground on me. I tell you what. Some of that hurt. And my wife gets the credit or the you know, people in church would say to her, oh, she's done such a marvelous job with that guy. But the other people that I used to party with, they'd say to her, well, man, she really ruined a fun guy. But it wasn't her. It was my God that had mercy upon me, that changed me little bit by little bit, that made me see that I wanted to have that relationship with him. Third Nephi. Chapter 8. And this is about the sacrament, but I'm going to go a little further than this with it. And it is, I want to start in the 61st verse. Therefore, if ye know that a man is unworthy to eat and drink of my flesh and blood, ye shall forbid him. Nevertheless, ye shall not cease, ye shall not cast him out from among you, but ye shall minister unto him and shall pray for him unto the Father in my name. And if it so be that he repenteth and is baptized in my name, then shall ye receive him and shall minister unto him of my flesh and blood. But if he repent not, he shall not be numbered among my people, that he may not destroy my people. For behold, I know my sheep, and they are numbered. Nevertheless, ye shall not cast him out of your synagogues or your place of worship, for unto such shall ye continue to minister. For ye know not but what they will return and repent and come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I shall heal them, and ye shall be the means of bringing salvation unto them. Those are the key verses right there. A return with full purpose of heart. You all know the parable of the penny. I'm not done yet, but my penny started maybe for half a day. Some of you started in the beginning of your lives. Hopefully I get paid. This job is to recover, not to drive away. And it's about repentance. Last time I spoke here, I used that scripture in Alma. And it was page 407 through 408. And it was a good thing that he wanted. And I think I'll go there again today, because the thing is, I think it's really important that we understand what it is that God has for us. He had something that was good that he wanted to do. 51st verse of Alma, the 15th chapter. And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And thus we see that great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. This was just after a major battle. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people. It was a good thing he wanted. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plain plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. But behold, I am a man and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. I ought not to harrow up my desires, the firm decree of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires, whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decrees which are unalterable according to their wills, whether they be unto salvation or unto destruction. Yea, and I know that good and evil have come before all men, or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to his desires, whether he desire good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Now, seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Why should I desire that I am an angel, I was an angel, that I could speak unto all the ends of the earth? He didn't want to make them. For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nations and tongue to teach his words, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit, that they should have. Therefore, we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. It wasn't to convert the whole world. That God had given him those people that he should help to repent. Like myself. Let's go to Acts, last chapter of Acts. How does that Holy Ghost work in our lives? This is how it worked in Paul's. I'm going to start in the 24th verse. And this was when he was already in Rome, right? And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. What was that word? Doesn't matter. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, ye shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. They either stayed or left. After one word. You know, and in my mind, I can understand this. Oh, you don't need to listen to this guy. Or you need to hear this. I consider you my family. Consider you my family. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Third chapter. First verse through the seventh. You know this. You've heard this preached for many times. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Boy, if that's not today, I don't know what it is. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of the sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the last days. Do you believe that? If it's the last days, judgment's coming. And there's many people that I know that say, no, it's not the last days. Been going this way for thousands. There's a scripture that says, you know, that they're going to say those things. Not important. Not important to ready yourselves. It's not important. I'm telling you it is. We need to change our ways, brothers and sisters. Compassion, humility, all those things are just words. But it's a frame of mind. It's a condition of the heart. It's a relationship with Christ. It's the example that he set. We consider ourselves and we say that we're better than we really are. Otherwise, we would have such amazing miracles that people couldn't deny the power of God. Second Corinthians, 13th chapter, 5th verse. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Prove your own selves. Examine yourselves. Look deep inside yourself and change those things about yourself that the Lord does not like. for judgment is coming. Let's go to righteousness. I'm going to try to be brief. Chapter 64, 6th verse. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we all are the works of thy hand. Don't be afraid to let the Lord mold you into what he can use. We would like to sit on our hands and say, look, I belong to the Church of Christ, I'm okay. All right, I come, I pay my tithes, I'm, you know, whatever it is that you think that you're doing, that's all you need to do. Don't be that piece of clay that he says, I can't do anything with this. Let's go back to Peter, 1 Peter. And it is that next verse that I didn't read of chapter 4, 18th. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? He didn't say it was easy. It was going to be difficult. But you're going to be scarcely saved. I know how unworthy I am. Better than any of you, even better than my wife. But I pray that the Lord would have mercy on me, that I might be an instrument in his hands, that I might do his will. Let's go to James, 2nd chapter. 23rd verse. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. How do we believe? Are we like Abraham? I said last time when I was here that could you imagine riding 3 days with your son beside you, knowing that you were going to sacrifice him, but you were so obedient that you would do it? As a parent, how could you think of those things? Did Abraham have greed? Don't think so. Maybe he filled his life with pride, complacency, or even arrogancy. How about stubbornness or unrepentance? All these things I see among us. Do we have compassion? Brothers and sisters, I fear for us and our families. How many of you have had children that aren't here anymore? Or that their whole families have left? Why? We not teach them how important it was? What did we do wrong? You see, the standard isn't mine, and the standard isn't yours. The standard's God's. And to understand what that standard is, you have to know what it says. You have to have a pure heart, and you have to look in there and want to change yourself, because the gospel itself is offensive because it requires that you do something about it. It is not a spectator sport. Let's go over the page. Chapter 1 of James. 25th verse down through the 27th. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. I don't think I'm going to get to loving kindness. But I'm going to go to the end. I've got another page, and it will take too long. But I want you to go to page 768 in the morning, because to me, this here is what sums it up. This is what's important to us. And I can't emphasize enough how we should feel about our God and also one another. 52nd verse, 8th chapter of Moroni. Wherefore, clave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last days, it shall be well with them. I thank you. May God bless you, keep you, and change you into what is usable.